Now it's time for Tom Casper's Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Hey, yeah. Howdy, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. I thought I lost you there for a little bit.
No, it was operator error.
Ah.
What kind of a bozo do they have running this show anyway? Good grief. So 40 degrees. It's going to be 40 degrees this weekend. It's going to almost be, if I shoveled first, Dexit and weather.
Yes. Yeah. If you had your deck clear, it might be 40, almost 50, they're saying. So.
Yeah. My deck is sort of, Mother Nature's kind of like doing the shoveling for me in the back there. On the south side there in the back. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I guess this isn't really outside talk, but I wanted to talk about houseplants. I know we've maybe briefly touched on that subject in the last 22 years.
Oh, maybe once or twice, but.
Yeah. It's really an interesting phenomena that's been happening with houseplants lately. There's been, over the last couple of years, huge resurgence in interest in houseplants. As a matter of fact, it's the fastest growing segment of gardening right now is the interest in houseplants. And the sales of houseplants has more than doubled in the last 3 years, which is really quite a number. But, this is a guessing game. Who do you think's driving that growth?
Cats.
Well, hopefully not cats, because we're going to cover houseplants and cats here in just a minute.
But, okay.
It's actually the millennials.
Good for you, millennials!
Yeah, they have a large interest in houseplants and actually doing quite well growing them. So it's an interesting sort of phenomena as people talk about millennials maybe their lack of interest in things. But in houseplants, they certainly have a lot of interest and a lot of interest in growing them well. So it's kind of
gardeners feel the same way about millennials and gardening that everybody else. I mean, you know, if somebody, regardless of what you think about a group of people, if you suddenly discover that they share your interest in Yorkshire Terriers or in gardening, all of a sudden they're like, oh, they're not so bad after all. They're just wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we old folks, we're curmudgeonly and we're... Yeah, exactly. But now they garden, and so you're going to be like, oh, hi, guys. Yeah. All right, I like it. That's cool.
Well, I was already that way, but maybe others will be that way.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
But so this big swing in interest in houseplants, but you know that, and a lot of people over the years had kind of gotten away from them, you know, I was going to just sound old there, but I was just going to say in our time.
Back in the day. Well, you used to be able, you know, and I've told you about this before, and I would imagine that either other people keep nicer houses or they're cleverer than I, all of which are probably true. But I got so gall darn frustrated every time I would bring home a houseplant, I'd end up with spider mites. And then the next thing you know, the plant would die. And granted, I wasn't shopping at like your top of the line houseplant central. I was shopping inexpensively. Let's just put it that way. And so, I mean, I was shopping at basically the plant version of probably Puppy Mills. And it probably shouldn't have been a surprise to me that the plants didn't maybe do well, but, you know, and maybe people got a little tired of that. I don't know.
Yeah. And that was a big problem. And certainly there are pest issues with houseplants and taking care of those pest issues is a little more challenging inside than outside. Because, you know, it's the environment that you're directly in as well. But there's a lot of interesting thing about houseplants is recently NASA did a study, and houseplants are basically the equivalent of buying an air purifier for your home. And they estimated that you need about one houseplant per 100 square feet of your home. And so if you figure you had a 1,000 square foot home, if you had... had 10 houseplants.
Yeah, I think I could get by with a plant and a half. I'd be fine. A plant and a half would set me up. I'd be in good shape. All right. Well, yeah, go ahead.
But they do the equivalent of an air purifier. So if folks are concerned about the air in their homes, which is, you know, we all hear over the years how the air in our houses is much worse than the air outside, bringing something in as natural as plants to help clean that air, remove particles from the air, and of course they're producing oxygen, so they're helping improve the air in your house while they're also helping purify it. So houseplants are great for that, and there's different varieties of plants that do better than others. Surprisingly, the one that is considered the best is the spider plant, which a lot of folks have, and you see monstrous ones around and babies growing off of them and things like that. But one of the big problems with spider plants is spider mites.
Uh-huh.
So controlling those can create some difficulty. But really, raising houseplants is not that challenging if you really adhere to
guidelines?
A couple of guidelines. There you go. One of them, and the biggest problem with us and houseplants, is we mostly kill them by overwater. They just don't need, obviously, as much water as we put in our plants outside in containers. So holding back on the water, making sure the top of the soil has gotten dry before you water it again, and then just giving it enough water. And really, if you have house plants, making sure you have containers where the excess water drains, so it isn't in a cup or a bowl or something like that without any drainage, because those roots are going to rot and that water is going to sit down there and create all kinds of problems. So watering is really the most critical part of taking care of your house plants. Then, of course, and you just mentioned it a little bit ago, pest control is a big deal, too. In our ultra-dry environments, most of our homes are about the equivalent of humidity as the Sahara Desert. Very dry conditions. And with that comes some of those pests that we talked about, spider mites. The other one is mealybugs and aphids and things like that. But all can be relatively easily controlled with the right kind of environment and the right sort of things to do. So you
mentioned, I'm guessing Roundup is not what you're recommending.
No, Roundup. Surprisingly,
you want to see me doing pest control around my house. It's like, everybody get out of the way. Mama's going to take care of the plants. It's the time for the weekly plant spraying, everybody.
Yeah, you know, but one of the things you can do, and this is a PG-rated show, of course, but you can take your shower with your plants.
Oh, well, yeah, all right. Yeah, if they're comfortable with it and you're comfortable with it, and everybody's a consenting, sentient being.
Adult.
Whatever, yeah. Okay.
So giving your plants a shower, so you don't have to get in there with them, but giving them a shower in a sink or underneath a hose or something like that will help wash a lot of those problems off, whether it's spider mites or aphids. A good, brisk, not too powerful shower, obviously, but you can dislodge a lot of those insect problems from that. It also increases humidity around them and flush any salts that have accumulated in the soil.
Well, remember when everybody had those ferns, those big ferns, and they always hung them?
Boston ferns.
That was it. And they always hung them in the bathroom in, like, the shower.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
they love that.
And
humidity.
They loved it, and they looked fabulous.
Yeah, that's...
And, you know, something nice in macrame? I remember it well. It was
exactly.
Great. Exactly.
Exactly like a three-stage macrame... probably a turquoise blue or a burnt orange.
Some burnt
color.
Orange was what I was thinking. Yeah. Oh, man, we were so groovy back then.
So, you know, and those are still around, and those have become more popular again, and people have gotten into sort of that look that you and I
are you talking about? Are you talking about the Boston ferns or the macrame?
Both.
Oh, jeez. All right.
And the Boston ferns are not as popular as they used to be. People have gotten more into some other things. So
all right. So what's the hip houseplant?
Right now, the money plant is very, very popular.
The money plant.
Money plant, or the there's also a variety called the Chinese money plant that have become very popular. Orchids are popular, and those require a little bit more work for folks if they want to continue
now,
to see them bloom.
I learned from some friends of mine in California that they get theirs at a chain grocery / coffee place that we don't have here in town. But that's where they have gotten theirs. But they're good at orchids, so they adopt these orchids from a sketchy environment. And then they bring them home, and they make sure that they've got just the right light and the right care, and they are exquisite.
Yeah, and that's really the with orchids, it's pretty critical that they have the right light. They don't want direct sunlight. They'd like indirect, but well-lit, and then good scheduled watering for them. And they will excel and provide years and years of years worth of enjoyment. And the interesting thing is when they come into bloom, they'll bloom for months and months and months, and then they'll go out of bloom, and it might be 6 months before they bloom again, but then they'll bloom again, you know, for extended periods of time. So,
well, back in the day, I mean, in addition to the fact that they didn't fit in macrame, we were afraid of orchids. They're too hard to grow. They're too complicated.
Yeah,
they
can be challenging.
Only the most talented and avid gardeners or orchid specialists could grow them. Are they still that way, or have they been able to make them a tiny bit more everyday person friendly?
Well, I think they're everyday person friendly because they're more accessible now. You know, it used to be that orchids were not as popular and hard to come by, and that made them, you know, that much more difficult for people to grow and share. So they are a bit easier now to access and really easier to take care of because there's information out about them. So a bit ago, you mentioned cats.
Yeah.
So folks that are thinking about getting into growing house plants, and they really should, be not only for what they do for the environment we live in as far as the air purifying and oxygen producing, but they also have a psychological impact on us. They're very positive in our environment, and they give us something to care for if folks like that in their lives where they have that responsibility. Houseplants are one of those things that help with that. But in the case of getting houseplants or having houseplants, if you have pets, you want to make sure that you maybe stay away from a few of them that can be quite serious for some of our four-legged friends if they consume parts of that plant. You know, things like poinsettias can be harmful to cats and a little bit to dogs, more so to cats. Dieffenbachia is another big one that has problems with if cats or more so cats than dogs if they consume any parts of that. So it's good to make sure if you're going to get into houseplants is you do a little research on the kinds that are better to be around your pets, you know.
And of course, there are different kinds of grasses and catnips and stuff that you can grow specifically for them.
Yeah, cat grass, catnip, catmint. Your cats will. It's a lot of fun to watch them consume and then think of back in high school days for yourself. But anyway.
Your high school, not my high school. No, not me.
So if you are going to do things like that with pets, either if it's, you know, if you have dogs and you're worried, do a little research. And in my case, I have dogs that are only like 8 inches high, so
right.
You could put them on a stool and the plant.
Exactly.
The plant's on a stool and the dogs can't get to them. So a little research on it. And then the other thing folks can think about with their houseplants, too, is they can bring them outside for the summer and they'll flourish outside, but making sure that they're not in too much sunlight. And increasing the watering, and then they can be brought back in the fall before the first frost. And so people can really use them year round in the environments that they're spending a lot of time in. And,
fantastic.
And they really can add a lot to our enjoyment of our home and our surroundings. So.
Well, so can macrame. I just wanted to put that out there. Hey, TK.
And it motivates you to macrame.
Exactly. TK, thanks a million for joining us. It's always great to talk with you. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks, all right?
Nice talking to you, too. We'll see you soon.
Tom Casper this morning, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday on KUMD.